What is up, you insolent noisemakers? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, I'm going to hitch up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, confusing, troubling, makes you hate Shakespeare because you have no idea what it means. Break it down, tell you what it means, then try to sneak it past Kevin in whatever way I feel is appropriate for this week during the podcast. This week, the word of the week is yar. Yar, Y-A-R-E, an adjective meaning quick, deft or adept, or an adverb meaning quick, without delay, or right now. This week, my wit is feeling exceptionally yar. Here we go. Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week we'll hunt the lion, seek the dystopian linings in the Scottish play, and explore the New Oxford Shakespeare Journal's claim that Hamlet may actually have been written in 1603 as a way to impress James I rather than in 1601 where it had been previously dated.
Oh.
But first, let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. I won the coin flip before the show,
garbage,
and I've elected to go first. So here we go. MJ Brady, who is at MJ Brady, tweeted us at No Holds Barredcast to ask, have you heard any especially good recordings of Shakespeare music? Wainwright did the sonnets recently, and a local, for me, Buffalo singer named Zach Wars did a beautiful 1881 two-track recording. His EP is The Gallimaufry.
The Gallimaufry.
G-A-L-L-I-M-A-U-F-R-Y. But I want more! So, when we were looking for the often acclaimed theme song for this show that we had nothing to do with other than using it, I went on a deep dive of Shakespeare covers, basically, which, you know, not from performance, you know,
right,
just whatever.
Right.
So I had a bunch, but I'm going to use one. I'm going to actually get a little nostalgic, and I'm going to recommend Hem's soundtrack from the 2009 Shakespeare in the Park production of Twelfth Night.
Okay.
It was set in like an Irish rolling hills type of thing, and so the music is out of that school. I would recommend particularly Come Away Death, but it's all the music from Twelfth Night by Hem. Which you can find online and check out and relive my summer of 2009 when I was a sweet baby company manager.
What did it sound like?
It's Irish music type of
full on.
Yeah,
full on Irish. Nice. Yeah, it's exciting. For moi, I'm gonna go with. It sort of blew my mind when this was happening, and it freaked me out in an amazing way. But Dave Matthews.
Oh, God.
Dave
would
Matthews
you stop?
Did two covers of. He did a cover of Come Away Death and a cover of Oh, Mistress Mine, both from Twelfth Night.
Mm-hmm.
The videos are online. You can find them on Vimeo.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out he wrote them for his daughter's school production.
Wow.
So imagine going to that school production of Twelfth
Night and having to demand a refund. It must have been really challenging.
Oh, wow. Anyway. The freaky part was one of my favorite Dave Matthews song is What You Are,
mm-hmm.
which is
bad.
A lyric.
Oh.
No. It's the name of the song. It's also, you'll notice, a line from Twelfth Night.
Hmm.
He has lots of song titles which are lines from Shakespeare. Part of the many reasons he's amazing and fantastic. Great. he opened that song, that concert, singing that song, and he interpolated Shakespeare into it, and I was like, what? I may or may not have been not sober.
I am not well.
not drunk, just not quite there.
Oh, no, we understand.
And I was like, what is going on right now? And I'm like, guys, I'm hearing Shakespeare. But like, okay, cool, man. Have another one. I was like,
yeah.
But Anyway, Dave Matthews.
And Dan's illegal activities. Question number two, Haley Lancaster, who is at, yep, it's Lancaster on Twitter, tweeted us with a challenge that has a prize on the line for the quote-unquote correct answer. She writes, dual cue, theory. Othello and Desdemona never had a chance to consummate, making Cassio, quote, getting there first, end quote, worse. Look closely at every time they're alone and they're interrupted. Who agrees with me so I can decide which of you is my fave? Dan.
I'm shocked this is up for a debate. We all know it's at Dan Bonos
she
on Twitter.
She just wants to give you a chance. It's fine.
Thank you so much. Anyway, Haley, at Yeepits Lancaster, I disagree with this theory. I don't think it makes any sense. If they haven't consummated the marriage, I think it's easier for Othello to just go, you know what? You're cheating on me. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So there's less to lose. Mm-hmm. Also, there's that sense of it's someone who you're driven insane with that kind of jealousy. I imagine you're picturing like every graphic detail. So if they have consummated it, there's more to drive him.
Yeah, sure.
And for those of us who are amazing at this sort of activity, it's unforgettable.
Clarify which activity.
So I'm just saying I think that would be something that they would have done by now.
Is the mic picking up me rubbing my forehead?
Is the mic picking up
me? Oh. I'm running out of bleep. Sadly, while the door is open here to become, yep, it's Lancaster's fave, I'm going to have to agree with Dan, I think.
Yeah!
I think they're, you know, that passion that you have for someone, it's not a pining. And also, I mean, traditionally,
yeah,
major war heroes of this era aren't, you know, saving themselves post-marriage.
Right.
You know, also the marriage wouldn't be legal if they hadn't consummated, right?
Yeah, there's grounds for annulment.
Yeah, but I do like, I mean, this is an idea, someone could play with it. You could play with this, you know, especially if you start, because there's no timeline on how long they've been married, right? I don't think they talk about it. We know that she's much younger than he is.
I think it's a fresh marriage.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah. I'm sure.
But I would say, I mean, if you want to start a production with their marriage,
while they're having that bit with Rubancho and they're like, hey,
it's at their wedding.
Tupping your you is like side scene. They're currently
like they're
married
in tuxes at the wedding.
Or they're just leaving the wedding.
Or something, yeah.
That could get to the interruption.
You could make a choice, but I don't think it's a universal thing.
Right. Luckily, this disagreement with Yeepits Lancaster, opposites attract, so I think it's still her favorite.
Question number three. Our final question this week comes from Marie Cruteau, who messaged us on Facebook at facebook.com/ No Holds Barredcast. Marie asks, regarding the male characters of Much Ado About Nothing, which one is the least dickish? I am going to go with Don Pedro. I think he is the adult in the room.
Okay.
I think he kind of puts Beatrice in a weird spot when he asks her to marry him, even though they all know that she and Benedict have a line on each other. But other than that, he acts truthfully to himself. I don't think he does anything spiteful. Clearly, he has a respect of the people. He doesn't treat Hero great, but he's working
on that whole bit where he brings that guy in to like ruin her wedding day.
Well, but he was working on flawed information,
right?
You know, that he was operating under that understanding that he had been sold a bill of goods that was not true.
Still a little dickish to be like.
The question is not who is not dickish; it's who is the least dickish, and there's a lot of competition. So.
That is true. I'm gonna go with Virgis, Dogberry's trusty old sidekick.
That's actually a good answer.
It's a great answer. 3 for 3 here for me this week. Virgis doesn't do anything dickish in a world full of, I actually was going to go with Balthazar, but even he's dickish because he is part of the gulling of Benedict. And it's like, Virgis is just oblivious.
He's just, he's away from retirement.
You know, he's trying hard and he's surrounded by buffoons.
Yeah.
So I think it's just it's a fun character. Teddy, producer of the pod, has enacted Virgis.
Lovely. Off book, still.
Off book.
For that cut.
For those of you not scoring at home, it's a 7.5-pound bundle of love Pomeranian who produces the show and played Virgis. That's a real... one of those is true. And it's just a lovable.
Should put a picture up on the you as Dogberry and our producer Ted as Virgis.
Done and done.
So there you go. That is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of the Duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, and we are on Facebook at facebook.com. No holds barred cast. Daniel,
yeah.
Shall we do some homework?
Yeah.
Mortals, perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from Redditor OG Hoppa under the heading Grade 11 English.
Oh, good.
They ask, I need to create a visual essay. In what way do words and literature affect society and help you overcome adversity? The dominant theme is fate versus free will, and it has to connect to Brave New World, 1984, and Mackers. I need three, but I only have two. The topics are, it can stir emotions, it broadens people's perspectives. Any help would be so awesome. Thank you.
Whoa.
Yeah, we need to pull this whole thing apart.
Yeah, please. I'm lost.
Grade 11 English. I need to create a visual essay.
Confused. Do we have an idea of what is that, like a painting? A visual essay could be a Venn diagram?
A visual essay can be a group of pictures depicting or exploring a topic without any text, or it can be a combination of visuals or images plus text. It's a collage.
Right? This is grade 11 English these days?
It's a collage. I need to create a collage. In what way do words and literature affect society and help you overcome adversity? The two they have so far are, it can stir emotions. So, words and literature can stir emotions, which helps you overcome adversity.
Is it like a spoon? We're doing Spoon River Anthology.
Is there a spoon? It's my favorite part of Spoon River Anthology is the spoon monologue. It broadens people's perspectives, okay, and that helps you overcome adversity.
This collage does or literature does?
Well, this question does. Literature does. So we need, so let's see, maybe we can help him with the other two, but let's come up with at least one way words and literature affect society and help you overcome adversity, touching on Brave New World, 1984, and Mackers. This is a tough one.
I don't think the question is that hard. I just can't figure out what the question is.
Right.
Like, I'm having a hard time
with this. Also a lot of moving parts here because there's a question, there's a theme, there are three books, and then we need topics.
Yeah. So, thinking about a collage, the first thing that jumped out in just the idea of a collage and literature and not understanding what the hell the question is, and 1984 and Mackers, I guess, and Brave New World, is the idea of a note.
I don't know. I see.
Like,
okay.
If there's some like a visual image of like notes being passed, like prophecy, and then like the secrecy.
Well, that's in Mackers, but I don't know. Well, okay. Secrecy. Go on. Yeah, go on. That. Yeah, secrecy.
That you
that's
have to
more.
Like pass a note. Yeah, and that's something as students of the pre-text era.
Yeah,
passing a note was like scandal.
Yeah,
and like so fun.
Yeah. In class or whatever.
Yeah, we couldn't just sit there and be like, let me just do a quick calculation and like just text someone.
And as a quick tip for those of you who may pass notes, what I used to do was I would watch people pass notes in the back of the room, and then they'd throw them out, and I'd take them.
Beckett Logan over here.
All what sorts of background on people. Like, and it's amazing what people write in those notes and what you learn.
Right.
And you just have.
DTF, yes, no, maybe.
High school sure has changed.
Yeah.
Fate versus free will. So that ties to Mackers. I get that.
Yeah. And 1984. To be clear, I was hoping this guy could get by on this question without being transparent, but I don't remember reading Brave New World that clearly. I know I did.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, 1984 was one of my favorite books.
Yeah, totally.
And Mackers is one of my favorite plays.
I mean, the
Brave New World is just...
The short version, the short baby version, and I know this, I only know this particularly because I've seen this a lot on the internet for some reason lately, that we were all fearing 1984, which is the government watches everything and controls everything. What actually happened was Brave New World, which is they're basically like, oh yeah, you can learn anything you want. Or you can go to the sex chamber and just experience joy.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they basically, they're like, I don't care about the election. I'm going to go, like, on a roller coaster forever. You know, it's like there's so much other stuff to worry, like, not to worry about, to spend your time doing that they're like, nah.
Huh.
It'll be fine. And there's just, like, a stimulus overload.
Okay.
That's a very short, you know.
So, hearing that, then, I guess the idea... Fate is almost replaced by that sense of you can go in that room and everything will be fine. Like we've got you. Don't worry about anything. Don't think about anything. We'll take care of it for you.
Yeah.
Verse. I do remember one of my favorite quotes about I claim them all. Like that seems to me to be free will. That sense of I'll take all the bad stuff. I'll take all the danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be more of like the I don't need to be tied to anything or that's.
Right.
And that is reminiscent of Mackers in that sense of he thinks he's in control.
Sure.
And then loses that control.
Right.
In 1984, that's just rampant.
Yeah.
You don't have any control.
Yeah.
If you try to subvert it, you're going down.
Right, exactly. And I think 19 Brave New World has kind of the same thing, too, that he's like once he starts to try to get away from the pleasure, the overload, they're like, you can go back there. You know,
right.
It's all obviously also still raging against a dystopian government type of thing.
Right.
Okay. So how do they affect society and help you overcome adversity? It can stir emotions. It broadens people's perspective. This question is really confusing.
Well, it's just the idea of a visual essay for this, too. I'm hung up on that. That sense of, if we are making a collage, how do we convey all of these things? Is it like, do we get grid paper? You know, the old like mathematical
grid graph stuff, paper, yeah.
And then try to, so like use that background to set up a general structure of like, stay within the lines.
It's a very Kevin attack to this. It's a very un-Dan Bollier attack.
Well, then go outside of the lines rapidly.
Or like,
take the paper apart.
Mm.
Or just like.
Mm.
Splatter paint on it.
Well, let's focus on the because even this answer is not about it can store emotion, right? So then you have the next step is how do you find collage things for it broadens people's perspectives.
Right.
This is just a car crash of a question.
Because if it was about actually writing an essay about this, I'm happy to dig in on the fate versus free will. I mean, we're digging in on it anyway.
Yeah.
But farther. But it's really like, so how do you take all of those ideas and get it to a visual place?
Yeah.
Based
on our time, well, let's punt on the visual part and at least come up with, what would the, so in, if he's going with it can stir emotions and it broadens people's perspectives.
Submit now because the idea of free will is a fallacy.
Interesting. Wait. It helps you overcome adversity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoops. despite the fact that it might feel like free will is a fallacy, hold on to your truth and hold on to your own inner beliefs and hope for the best as we navigate our way through this increasingly fatalistic world.
Yeah, so it can stir emotions, it broadens people's perspectives, and it can harden individuals' resolve.
Right.
You know?
So
the example for Mackers isn't Mac, it's Duncan. Nope.
It's Mac Duff. Malcolm.
Malcolm is who I was thinking of. That Malcolm, you know, comes back even though he knows he sure is not going to make it, you know.
But he makes it.
Well, no, if he loses.
Oh, right.
Like, he knows that's the right thing to do and he goes and does it. He fights back, you know. And if you're comparing these three, Brave New World 84 and Mackers, Mackers is Big Brother.
Right.
That,
exactly.
Like, does all these awful things. So it's kind of inverted. But if you look at it that way, that may be an easier way to... That Brave New World and 84 are showing you the protagonist and Mackers in this question, in this context, in this comparison, is focused on the antagonist.
That makes sense. Yeah, he's the tragic hero.
Yeah.
And then the Savage, is the Savage the in Brave New World, is he the one that's...
I don't remember.
The protagonist?
I forget.
Mm. That makes... Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Perfect. So there you go, OG Hoppa. Good luck with whatever this is. You want to get the hell out of here?
Yeah, please.
This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is, "He is a lion that I am proud to hunt," as featured in Act 1, Scene 1 of Coriolanus. Let's hear the phrase in context.
Martius, 'tis true that you have lately told us the Volscians are in arms.
They have a leader, Tullus Aufidius, that will put you toot. I sin in envying his nobility, and were I anything but what I am, I would wish me only he.
You have fought together.
Were half to half the world by the ears, and he, upon my party, I'd revolt to make only my wars with him. He is a lion that I am proud to hunt.
It is your former promise.
Sir, it is, and I am constant. Titus Lartius, thou shalt see me once more strike at Tullus' face.
At Bardamania!
Yeah!
And that is...
For you,
he
Thomas.
Is a lion that I am proud to hunt, as featured in Act 1, Scene 1 of Coriolanus Daniel.
Yeah. Yep.
Want to give us a little context on
this? Yeah, I mean, this is the first time we meet our Martius. This is... We're basically coming in, and they're saying, yep, you're right. The Volscians are arming. Here comes another war. And Coriolanus, rather than many of the characters in the canon, is like... Yes, great. Here we go again. I'm pumped. They have this guy, Tullus Aufidius. I mean, this is another example of billboarding, which you talked about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Early in the first scene where everyone's going to get named and then and they're going to describe them. So it's like basically like crash course for the audience. Like, here's who you need to know about.
Sure.
I mean, the first thing they say to Coriolanus is Martius, his name.
Yeah.
Because he's not Coriolanus yet. And he's like, yeah, definitely. There's that guy you were telling me about. Yes, his name is Tullus Aufidius. And he is a badass, and mm-hmm. I love fighting him. I sin in envying his nobility tells you that we're this is a Roman play, and the whole idea of honor.
Mm-hmm.
He is envious, and that's not Roman.
Yeah,
he's like, if I could be anything other than me, I wish it was him. And he's like, but you're his enemy. You've fought together before. He's like, yeah, I'd fight him every day.
Yeah,
he's a lion I'm proud to hunt. Is mm-hmm. like. He is arch rival.
He's not a deer I'm proud to hunt.
Right.
Like, there is a danger in hunting a lion.
Exactly.
And that's what he's into.
Big time rival. And I can't wait. He's like, you've said this before. He's like, and I'll say it again. And mm-hmm. I'll say it again, and I'll say it again until this is over.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. That's really it.
Yeah, there you go. So how can we use this in our everyday conversation?
You know, it's not unlike when Pedro Martinez referred to the Yankees as his daddy,
mm-hmm.
famously. Or infamously, depending on who you ask. But sure. There's that sense of like, yep, they got me. They're just like, what do you think of the Yankees? Like, oh, yep. Or what do you think of Derek Jeter?
Sure.
He's a lion I'm proud to hunt.
Right.
Like, I'm awesome and he's awesome.
Right.
And I like striking him out a lot.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah. Right. It's really any time you have a challenge that admittedly sucks. But yep. you're leaning into it, and you're like, this is how I want to spend my time.
Right.
You know, where it's like, if your work, if your job is hard or something about your job is undesirable,
yeah.
and someone's like, oh, that really sucks. And you're like, no, I love doing this.
Right.
Like, this challenge is what I am good at. And no one else in the world is as good at this, as, you know, or not many people are as good at this as I am.
Right.
So, yes, it sucks that I have to do it. But if anyone's going to do it, I'm the best.
Right.
You know, which is kind of a cool, like, you know, that idea of like, oh, I know. And you wish you could do it like I'm about to do it.
Right.
You know.
There's a mutual respect. There's a mutual respect.
Yeah. A worthy adversary.
Right. It's like when you're playing me in Onitama.
Onitama, I think.
I believe it scans as Onitama.
The board game.
Yes. Mm. Fantastic board game. I'm fantastic at it. And they're like, why do you keep playing Dan? He just keeps beating you. And you're like, well, he's a lion I'm proud to hunt. We should mention while we're midway on this that this was a request that came
in
on Twitter.
Oh, right, from last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what happens when you request on Twitter. You get your quote brought up on the pod.
It's like if someone requested an Everyday Shakes that really wasn't great as an Everyday Shakes, and you're like, well, someone's got to teach this, and like, oh, you can't, and you're like, oh, I can. We are the best in the world at this.
Right.
Teaching It Is a Lion, I Am Proud to Hunt, Is a Lion, I Am Proud to Hunt.
There you go.
You dig?
You dig? I do. The Lionheart Chris Jericho. He is a lion I'm proud to hunt in the Royal Rumble. You know, if you were ever to talk to that f-bag Walter Palmer and ask him what his thoughts were on Cecil the Great Lion, he would might say to you...
That's a children's book, right?
No, it's the dentist that killed that great lion last year.
Oh.
So, I'll leave my thoughts on that right there. But
friend of the pod?
Not
Cecil
a friend.
The Lion?
Not, yeah, Cecil the Lion was a friend of the pod, but not Walter Palmer.
He always downloaded.
Scars. Scars responds when asked his thoughts on Mufasa.
You're just
he's a lion I'm proud to hunt.
Just naming lions.
Bill Belichick, when asked what his thoughts were on Matthew Stafford, he's a lion I'm proud to hunt.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I Google search lions.
You're the worst.
Wait, you know what? You know the best part about lions doing Shakespeare is they all have dramatic pause.
Did we actually answer the question? Have we helped anyone?
Yeah.
You're not being a lion that I'm proud to hunt right now.
Ah, well, we're not the same level. I'm next level lion right now.
You're lying about that,
I'm
for sure.
Ferocious.
Let's get out of here. Hot plugs, corrections, banter, word of the week, Danny.
Yeah, I've got about 14 hours of sleep over the past 9 days. And that may be evident on this episode of the pod, but I'm proud to mention that is because we got to spend some time this past week at the Shakespeare Theater Association annual conference.
Yeah, woo.
Oh, yay. So for those who don't know, the Shakespeare Theater Association is a forum for the artistic, managerial, educational leadership for theaters primarily involved with the production of the works of William Shakespeare. This year it was held in Baltimore, Maryland, at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. So shout out to Ian and Leslie and the entire staff there for hosting us. They did a great job. Patrick Flick and the executive committee for putting the conference together. And all the people who were there that were just keeping us up till 5 a.m. at the tavern. Mm-hmm. It was really wonderful, which is always great when you start workshops and panels at 8:30 in the morning the next day. But it was like all Shakespeare all the time, so my brain's definitely mush.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool.
And thanks for bearing with us while we were at that conference. We apologize for the late episode this week, but we promise it will pay dividends. The wild card for this week is already up, which we wouldn't have gotten if not for being there. And we have another exciting wild card coming in February that we recorded over the weekend that you're going to love, but you're going to have to wait a month for. So settle in.
Oh, yeah. And if you're on Facebook and if you like Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, there is an image on there that might give you a little tease about...
A little big market tease.
A little big market tease. Little big. Oh, nice. Little big word. Mm. So yeah, that was that's on there. Check us out on Facebook. Also, last week we had two dear friends of the pod in town. One, Sean Garrett in town, and Ben Crystal, who joined Seven Stages for an event we did last Saturday night called Shakespeare Boiled Down, which was looking at... craft, creativity, and the crossroads of modern artistry with original practice, which was a fun night of dialogue at the Press Room in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And then they stayed in town for a couple of extra days to do Angelo and Pompey Bum in Our Measure for Measure,
mm-hmm.
which was amazing. So thanks, guys. They are confirmed listeners of the podcast, dear friends.
Actual friends of the podcast.
Actual friends of the pod. And then we came back down and did... a workshop here in New York on clowning with Montgomery Sutto and at Will O'Hare, both on Twitter.
Hmm.
So it's just been all Shakespeare all the time, since we hit the end button of recording for the last episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of which, thanks so much for everyone who was finally guilted into sending us dual questions. We got a ton, which is amazing.
Nice.
So we are all set for like a week, but we could always use more so we don't bottom out again. Please keep sending those our way. I got to say, they're always so different and they're always so great. And it makes the duel so much better when we have your imaginations to lean on so we don't end up with the same type of questions all the time. It stretches our minds in different ways and makes for a better listening experience and a higher likelihood that Dan and I yell at each other, which is always important.
Yeah, I wanted to yell so much tonight, but I don't have the energy to yell, but there's been a lot of surly stares. Maybe we should put out some surly stare imagery.
Let's not.
I might do that. I might check me out on Snapchat.
God, don't.
Really, you don't want to do it. I don't do anything on Snapchat.
Better, best case.
Right?
Go on.
Just chat that snap. fouls that one off. A couple of anecdotes. It's always important, I think, to come back. Not just, it's nice to say the thank yous, but some direct quotes that I think could be helpful for folks who are doing Shakespeare or really who are just are listening and love and want to live with any kind of art. There were three pieces of advice that I received over the weekend that I think are really just nice reminders. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting weekend to be around people who are all like, to be around a bunch of people who are all kind of like feeling it on a mm-hmm. big level. One was from Scott Phillips, and the quote was, lead with your art and follow with your heart, which I really was like, that's amazing. Sarah Enlow, if you're going to be everyone should be a warrior, but be a warrior with joy. And then Austin Tishner of the Reduced Shakespeare podcast and the Reduced Shakespeare Company, mm-hmm. and a direct question of any advice for what to do with Shakespeare, especially with midbrow Shakespeare, mm-hmm. this sort of like counterculture Shakespeare. And he said, quote, keep it real, man.
Mm.
So here we are, keeping it real.
Man. Nice.
Oh, going off that, I have a shout out to friend of the pod, the hashtag 61MinuteMan, at I Am Jerrica, for 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 12 seconds in the Royal Rumble, cumulatively.
Congratulations, dear Lionheart.
Dear friend of the pod. This is not only the record for the longest time ever in the Rumble by WWE superstar, it's also the shortest production of Hamlet uncut. Is 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 12 seconds. So,
really?
No.
I like it. I get it. Yeah. Rachel Rosenthal, who is at Greymare Music on Twitter, wrote us an interesting email this week, Dan. I know we had talked about with our Patreon for people that donate $3 a month to help out the show at patreon.com/ no holds barred. If they donate that, or if they contribute that $3 a pledge, $3 a month to help out the show, they get our 12th night card in January. But we also wanted to have some other special benefits that we could put out. She wrote in, so you guys inspired me to try and search out a Shakespeare class at the local community college. To my utter amazement, while you can take classes in monster literature, the role of the alien in science fiction writing, and A Survey of Fantasy, there were no Shakespeare classes offered. Lacking the many hundreds of dollars it would require to take the course at our local university, I was wondering, have you guys ever thought about doing some sort of online read-along discussion essay-type class? Or do you know of a good one? Maybe you could even draw us diplomas if we finish it. We could donate, and here's the important part, Dan. We can donate gift certificates to the local wine store towards furthering the artistic nature of said diplomas. Dan perks up.
Yeah. I prefer GIF certificates, but yeah, I would take one of those.
What do you think about the idea of an online read-along course? We have not talked about this before. This is
brand new.
I started to say it to you before. I'm save it for the pod.
Save it
for the pod.
I'm a podcast man. I'm also a family man. This is my boy, HW.
Mm.
I think that's a great idea. I like the idea of gift certificates, and I like the idea of doing an online read-along. Like, that'd be cool. Now, would it be the sort of, like, the MOOC model of, like, we do the video.
What are you calling a MOOC?
Mookie Betts. Friend of the pod. About, like, we do the video, and then we interact through comments?
I don't know. And the other thing, my one reservation that I wouldn't want to do is the reason we do this podcast in this structure is because there are a lot of podcasts where they're, like, this week, we're going to break down Act 4, Scene 2 of Timon of Athens for an hour. And it's like, there are a lot of those, and I'm sure some of them are good.
Yeah.
But
I haven't heard it.
Shots fired.
Take that.
But I don't think we want to do that, which is the idea of having it be an interactive thing is interesting.
Right. So how do you do it interactive video outside of doing like a Google Hangout?
Yeah, it'd have to be a Google. I don't know. And I don't know what the cap on number of people for that is.
Yeah, right. I don't know. That sounds, if it's a low cap, that just raises the price of the donation.
Well, we can talk about that off the air. But the idea, I mean, if that's something people, I don't know, that'd be, you know, like a, basically like if we, you sign up for a session and we talk, we, it's like, yeah, it's a book club, I guess.
Right. Could do like a one-off. Do like a one-off to try it. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Maybe spike 1 month.
Yeah.
Do.
So if people would be interested in that, let us know. It would be maybe, because then it's not, you know, we have, it's very important to us that the podcast is free for all.
Okay, we will.
And this would be separate from that, but it's not the podcast. It's a whole different thing.
Right. It's just a bonus. It's an interact.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
If anybody cares about that, let us know. And if not, your silence will tell us the message loud and clear.
Silence is the perfectest herald of joy, after all.
Not in this instance, but yes.
There was an amazing tweet this week. Abraham Holleran at Abe Holleran tweets, hashtag throwback Thursday to at no holds barred cast number 66. He tweets, hashtag throwback Thursday to at no holds barred cast hashtag 66 when at Dan Bonos dropped the hottest sonnet and the hottest roast of 2016.
I think it was number 66, not hashtag 66.
I'm a modern guy. I see that thing and I think hashtags are tic-tac-toe. And unless you want to get your ass kicked at tic-tac-tish-tac.
At what?
Tish-tac-tac-tish-tac.
I'm good.
Tic-tac-toe.
I think I need to call HR with what you just said to me. Speaking of that time that you made fun of a loyal listener, have you heard from him about your trip to San Jose?
I don't think so.
I feel like you're going to be doing the San Jose Shakespearean production of
Hamlet,
and he'll be, who are you playing?
I'm directing.
Oh,
they brought me into it.
So Hamlet, you're just, okay,
No.
You'll be sitting there at the bar watching, nodding, and then there'll be like a pop in the other end of the room, and you'll turn around and eat a chair shot from Skylar Collins,
right?
Who will be like, "I'm Fortinbras, and I'm here tonight."
Be awesome.
That would be awesome. It would be awesome.
It would not surprise me if he had reached out to nohholdsbarredcast@gmail.com.
He has not, but I'm the light is, I am on the widow's walk with the lantern out waiting for Skylar to come home.
Aren't we all? Inconsiderate, inconsistent squid booty.
I don't understand.
I don't understand what?
He's a good man and a listener.
He was. Hamlet is on Twitter, apparently, who's @_emo_Hamlet, tweets, at No Holds Broadcast, use your featured phrase, "We must not make a scarecrow of the law, on a procrastinating student." Thanks.
Love it.
You're welcome. That's why we're here.
That's what we're here for. We do love to hear when people use them. I read that. I'm like, nice.
Right?
Like, perfect.
Picture that student being like,
just so angry.
"You're such a nerd, Mr. Hamlet."
"Yeah, but I'm a nerd who controls your future, kid, so suck it up."
Which gets us back to fate versus free will.
Mm.
There we go. There's your visual essay. Just tweet. Ye Pitts Lancaster has been tweeting about teaching Romeo and Juliet for the first time. So just to check in, to check out with Haley and then her students and say, "What's up from your boys at No Holds Barred?" Mm. We're still on standby for any questions about the play.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here for you and rooting for you and your students as you work your way through the... It's not taught that often, or the rarely seen Romeo and Juliet.
Right. Pass.
That's a joke.
That's a joke,
for those of you scoring at home.
That was a good yoke. You can tell by the roaring laughter. Yeah, and we mentioned how you can contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/NoHoldsBarred. But if you don't have the means or interest in supporting us financially but still want to help us out, you can do so by giving us a rating and review on iTunes so we can try to keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcast list. We got a review this week from Crazy KGM, who reviewed us by writing, "Very enjoyable banter, and you'll learn something too. Shakespeare relevant to modern life? You bet. Give this podcast 3 or 4 episodes to fully appreciate it." I would argue 85 or 86 episodes to really appreciate it. We are now up to 40 reviews and 72 ratings, and I think we can get up to 150.
150 reviews? That's a big jump for 1 week.
Well, I'll take that. I meant 100 ratings, 50 reviews.
Got it.
So I need 28 of you to step up and make the humongous commitment of clicking iTunes and clicking the stars.
I'm not over what KGB Martinez said. I'm not over what crazy KMG said.
KGM.
3 or 4 episodes. I think that we're like love at first sight on this podcast.
I think that we're love at 50 downloads. I think you really... Well, I think it's more like, you know, well, there, you know, there are two ways that it could go.
Yeah.
Either it is love at first listen /download. But if it's not, that means you just haven't found it yet. So keep listening. Oh,
it's not us, you know? It's you.
So for those of you who are listening and don't like the show, you're doing the right thing by sticking around, because eventually you'll get the charm.
It's a little
Stockholm syndrome type of thing. Just stick with us long enough, and eventually either you'll come to like us or the show will end. So it's a win-win. Rate and review us. It would be awesome and amazing, and we're pretty infrequently in the top 200, and there are some that are in the top 200 that are not good.
Double plus ungood, to quote 1984.
And so it would make my mom proud of me if we could get in there, so that'd be great.
Yeah, Noreen, she deserves it. She's a lovely lady.
She does. She is. Word of the week. I don't got it. What do you got?
No chance you got this week. Yar.
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 Like what a pirate says?
Yeah, exactly. This is for a friend of the podcast, Dread Pirate Mama.
Oh, nice.
We went with yar.
Do you use it?
Yeah, twice. It just means like quickly. So earlier when someone got it here, it's like yar, which is the correct usage of the word.
Interesting.
That is not correct. It's an adverb. Like, let's be yar about it. Or yar, like, the boat was yar. It could be quick. It can be an adjective or an adverb.
Okay.
Both meaning, like, quick, moving things along.
All right. Well, let's be yar about this right now and get out of here.
That sounds f***ing great.
To keep in touch with us until next time, you can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. You can follow us on Twitter @noholdsbarredcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, oh shoot, we forgot to take Hamlet back to the future. Ah, well, we'll try harder next time. Till then, my name is Kevin.
Yes, it is. My name is Dan. Come meet me with some cheese whiz. Adieu, 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 adieu.